Hi, my name is James Shepherd. I'd like to welcome you to the CC Sales Pro podcast. Today, I am going to talk to you about something that may or may not be useful to you. It is something that has really been extremely useful to me personally. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, sometimes I try to make these podcast episodes to where I feel like they're really useful for everybody, of course. But, you know, sometimes, honestly, I really don't know how useful it's going to be because, you know, it works for me. I don't know if it's going to work for you or not. But what I'm going to share with you today is my four-step process to hiring and managing an assistant. Four-step process to hiring and managing an assistant. Now, an assistant is someone who can really impact your life and your ability to function effectively in whatever capacity that you're looking to do this in. My personal opinion is that if you're actually really good at anything that you're doing, you should hire an assistant. Now, if you're not good at it, then it's not going to be worth it because the whole, you know, hiring an assistant is an arbitrage on time. Is really what it is. So, you know, an arbitrage means risk-free money, okay? So if I know that I'm worth $70 an hour, and I know that if I'm working, I can make $70 for every hour that I'm able to really, you know, let's say prospect in the field and I'm really good, then if I can hire an assistant for, you know, $10 an hour, that's going to take work away from me, then I'm going to make $60 for every hour that she works because every hour she works, I'm going to work and do this other thing I could have done that's much more valuable, right? So hiring an assistant, if you really think about the big picture, it's just an arbitrage on time. Are there things that you're doing that are really, really profitable that you could do more of if you had an assistant? I mean, that's really the question. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here in the steps, but I mean, you know, that's really it. I mean, you know, so if there's something you can do, and you know, not like a guessing game. I mean, figure it out. You know, how many hours did you prospect last month in the field, and how much upfront, you know, commission or whatever did you make? Divide the two out. If you made $53 an hour, and you can hire an assistant for $10 an hour, and again, not just that, but and you can take the time that they're working on something after you train them, and you can transition that into you putting more hours into this $53 an hour activity, that's an arbitrage on time, and it's a no-brainer, okay? So that's why you hire an assistant. Now let's talk about the four steps of how do you hire and train an assistant, okay? Number one. Well, I'll give you the first two. The first two are actually requirements for you, okay? So the first two have nothing to do with an assistant. They are just requirements for you before you can hire an assistant, okay? Number one, you have to be able to you have to understand and communicate your weaknesses. You have to be able to understand and communicate your weaknesses. Make no mistake about it. The only reason that you are hiring an assistant is because you suck at something. Like, that's it. Okay? That's the only reason you hire an assistant is because you can't do something. You're bad at it. Okay? If you think that you're good at everything, don't hire an assistant because number one, you're an idiot. And number two, they're not going to have anything to do and you're going to drive them crazy. Okay? Until you're ready to be honest with yourself and others and say, wow, there's some things I'm really good at it, and there's some things I am terrible at. Until you're willing to be honest with yourself and then communicate that to others, you cannot hire an assistant. Okay? So right now when I say, what are your top three weaknesses that are holding you back from success? While I'm talking, if you don't immediately know what those three things are, you need to stop this audio program right now and you need to pull your car over and get out a blank piece of paper or your phone and a note and you need to figure out what those weaknesses are because they're costing you a fortune and you probably can't do very much to fix them, honestly, but you can hire somebody else who's really good at those things, all right? So, number one, you have to understand and communicate your weaknesses. You have to be able to do that if you want to hire an assistant. Number two, you have to work really, really hard. Now, you say, well, you know, James, why does that matter? Well, because if you're lazy, and I don't mean that in, let me rephrase this. Lazy isn't the right word. Okay. If you have made a conscious decision to place extreme value on areas of your life that are recreational rather than your work, then hiring an assistant really doesn't make a ton of sense for you. In other words, if you're not working really hard, then if you hire an assistant and they take an hour of work away from you a day and you're not going to redeploy that hour back into working on something more profitable, then hiring an assistant is just an additional expense. Okay? So, you know, and again, maybe that's what you want. You know, maybe you're literally looking at your life going, you know, I'm working 7 hours a day right now. I wish I could work five and I'm making enough money where I could do that. Then hire an assistant to get those 2 hours back. That I can understand. But I'm saying if the idea of hiring an assistant is so that you're going to make more money, then you have to be working really hard and you have to be a hard worker and somebody who's valuing that, because that's what's going to allow you to redeploy that the time you're putting into whatever you were doing into, you know, having the assistant do it so you can work on something else that's more productive. Like we talked about at the beginning, that time arbitrage. Okay? So you have to be working hard. You have to understand and communicate your weaknesses. So those are your two requirements, right? Now let's talk about the next two requirements, which are for the assistant and this four-step process. So you're like, okay, James, I understand my weaknesses. I'm willing to be honest and communicate those with others. I'm working really hard, and I know that if an assistant was saving me an hour or two a day, I know that I'd be able to put that back into prospecting or whatever to build my business. So what's number three? Number three is you have to have somebody that you either trust or you have to have a process in place where you can build trust. An assistant is somebody that you absolutely must be able to trust, because your assistant, for them to be effective, you know, I mean, my assistant, Angela, she has access. Well, actually, I would say I kind of have two different assistants, Angela and Janet. You all don't know Janet because she does the financial side of things, but and personal stuff too, you know, house and taking care of things like that. And so these are two ladies who have, one of them has complete access to my email, my phone, my schedule, personal and otherwise. You know, the other one, Janet, has full access to my bank accounts, my checks, you know. So to say that I need to trust somebody like that is obviously an understatement. Now, these two ladies are related to me, and so they're in my family, and so I have a lot of trust already built up. Angela is my sister-in-law, and she's been my assistant now for, I don't even know, probably 7 or 8 years at least, maybe a little longer, I'm not sure, but a long time. And so she was somebody that was a stay-at-home mom, and she was looking for, hey, you know, some work, 2-3 hours a day, work from home. I knew she was somebody that worked really hard. And so I thought, okay, good, let's do that, because the trust factor is already there, which is huge. So if you can find somebody in your circle of trust, if you watched, what was that movie a long time ago? I can't remember now. Anyway, the circle of trust from some movie is clicking in my head. But anyway, circle of trust, somebody in that circle, then, you know, that's great, because that's somebody you can work with and you already trust them. If not, you're going to have to think about, how am I going to build trust with this person? How am I going to slowly delegate things over to them and begin to trust them? And by the way, there's another way around that too, which is just simply being more transparent. Almost, it's crazy, almost everybody in my company has full access to my email inbox, and which also gets my voicemails and my text messages. You know, I'm really just not doing anything that I'm, you know, nervous about everybody finding out about. I mean, obviously my wife and I have to keep our privacy and things that, you know, whatever, but I mean, really, there's just, you know, as far as email and work related stuff and whatever, I mean, there's just not really anything I'm, you know, nervous that somebody's going to see. So that helps. But you know, you've got to have kind of a methodology here where you can build trust with people, because this is somebody, an assistant, you have to trust them. So think about that. Who's in your circle of trust? You know, maybe you've never thought about them as an assistant before, but for all you know, they might love that. And so ask them about it. See if they have a little time to help you out. And then number four, and finally, this last requirement really is for you and the assistant, but you've got to delegate processes, not delegate a mess. Delegate processes, don't delegate a mess. Now, sometimes you can delegate a mess to someone and work with them to create the process. That's a good idea. But generally speaking, you want to have a process in place before you delegate it. And so in our company, Josh Deku works for me here, and he and I had a lunch on Friday, and I have him delegating some things to put some new responsibilities on his plate. So he's delegating to several other workers here at our company. And I just had a big conversation with him about delegation and how important it is, because really, as a leader and as somebody that's trying to build a business, the only thing I can do to really scale my business is delegate effectively. I mean, that's really it. You know, there's a limit to how much time I can work. And so I have to be able to delegate effectively. And so if you want to hire an assistant, you have to be able to take these things that you're doing now that are taking you a lot of time, put them into a process, use something like Camtasia Studios to do a screenshot recording or something, or type out a procedure list. Step one, you do this. Step two, you do this, and everything. And then that way you want to be able to delegate a full process to your assistant. That takes a lot longer to do that, to create the process, but it takes a lot shorter of a time then for your assistant to grab onto that and figure out what you want them to do. And so that'll really, really help you out. So the four requirements, the four steps to hire and manage an assistant. Number one, you have to be able to understand and communicate your own weaknesses. Number two, you have to be working hard so you can arbitrage the time and take the time that you're delegating to the assistant and put that into productive use. Number three, you have to have somebody you either already trust or you have to think strategically about how you're going to build trust so they can be more effective in their job. And then number four, you have to make sure you're making these processes so that you're delegating a process, not delegating a mess. Last little caveat I'll give you is, even as good as all this stuff sounds that I talked about today, it's going to take you between 4 to 8 weeks to get to the place with an assistant where you're really being a lot more productive, because you're going to have to train and train and train and train, and you're going to have to check. I'll give you another really little tip here that'll help you out. One thing I was talking to Josh about is the difference between something I call before accountability and after accountability, okay? Before accountability means, hey, before you send that email, let me read it. Before you send that proposal out, let me take a look at it, whatever, right? That's before accountability. That's what you do when you first hire somebody, which is why it takes forever to manage them, because you're doing before accountability. After accountability means you're just checking up. Every once in a while, you let them know, hey, just so you know, you're going to have this work email. I am going to be logging in there and spot checking the emails you're sending out to give you tips about how you can do it better. When you send the email with the proposal to the client, CC me, and then that way I can take a look when I want to. That's after accountability. That never goes away. You always have to keep an eye on what's happening in your business. But the difference between a before accountability and after accountability is massive in terms of your time investment, and it's only going to get to that after accountability once you feel like you trust them and you've built up all these processes that they understand. And so there is a 4 to 8 week learning curve in the job of a real good assistant. Spend time with them, let them watch you as you go through your email inbox, your voicemails, or whatever you do the bulk of your work with. Let them understand what you're all about, what you're doing, so they can help you to be more effective. Hey, I hope these tips helped you out. Again, I'm not sure if today's was like really, really useful. I hope it was. Shoot me an email if it was, james@ccsalespro.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know if this one was a help to you. Hopefully it'll help you if you're looking to hire an assistant. Thanks so much for listening. My name is James Shepherd. Have a great day.